information you need now. News Radio 560 KPQ.
This is The Agenda from News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com, where topics of local concern affecting you are open for discussion. And now your host, Michael Knight.
Time for the show, okay? Let's go. 12:15. Consider this today, if you would. Just write it down. You know, take notes. Jot it down when you have time. It's so easy when someone else gives a bit of advice like that. Yeah, just write it down. You'll never remember, so write that thing down. And when you do, be sure to choose the correct word and discover the correct phrasing and attack the thought you're working on and express yourself within the glorious limitations of your mother tongue. Wither the opposition with your declarative statements. Make your point. Just the perfect adjective. Right use of words. And with a flourish, always with a flourish. Evade even the audacity of the Scarlet Pimpernel. You can be more audacious than he. Challenge the norms. Expose the hypocritical stance of the Calvinist thought and societal fear. It's not the right, after all. It's the rewrite, which you're going to work on right now. So fix your work, proof your manuscript, take nothing for granted, deliver yourself to the nearest penitentiary, and consistently and fearlessly end your sentences with the preposition. Ask not, where is it at? It ain't at, you hayseed. It's where, you were doing so well. Where is it? You were doing beautifully, and then you just had to use at, which will not do. So let us proceed to the writing room where the ideas are born, where crimes are solved, where chapters end with a page-turning revelation, where your creations wander around the room imagining how the story will twist itself into a suitable, unforgettable climax worthy of the great minds that create wonderfully written fiction and the raw truth of nonfiction that leaves you, the reader, myself included, in a state of wonder. That's what happens when people write. 12:16 at News Radio 560 KPQ, and I introduce you to the people from Right on the River. Your timing is impeccable, Susan. Well, I won't say impeccable, but it's interesting anyway. Welcome to the studio, Susan Lagsden, and also Lorna Ray Hahn. Say hello, girls.
Rose Hahn. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And thank
Lorna
you.
Rose Hahn. What did I say?
Ray Hahn.
Oh, so I'm sorry.
I don't know what that is.
I don't know. It's no one that we know. Anyway, let's talk about writing. Let's talk about Right on the River. Let's begin, as we always do when we get together to discuss these matters, with a declaration of the principles of WOTR. Anyone?
Lorna, why don't you lead us off?
All right. So, for those listeners not familiar with Right on the River, we are a literary nonprofit based right here in Wenatchee. We serve North Central Washington, and we serve to support writers of all sizes and shapes wherever you are in your writing journey or career. We are here to support you. We've got brand new writers. We've got writers that just write on the weekends. We've got writers with 50 novels published. So wherever you are, like I said, we'll come meet you. And we've got something almost every month happening for you.
What I like about your organization, Susan and Lorna, is that you give writers something that they don't normally get anywhere in the world. That is help and encouragement.
Yes, we give them not only classes and workshops, but we give them each other. And you'd be surprised how many people who've just moved to Wenatchee say, I've been looking for writers, but I don't know how to find them.
They're all laboring in the dark, right?
Well, they are. It's a very quiet sport.
And alone.
Yes.
Yeah, you can't have a lot of distractions, right? Maybe one dog, but that's about all.
Right. Or a cat.
Or a cat. Depends how bossy the cat is.
It's true.
But part of the problem, not the problem, part of the solution is sitting down and writing every day, right? You can write yourself out of any mess that you've written yourself into, I assume.
Yes. One of the reasons I just skimmed in right on time is because I was writing. I got caught in
here
the flow.
Go.
And I'm
nice.
Smiling at Lorna and apologizing.
What are you writing?
I'm writing a pretty good article for Good Life magazine, which is what I do every month, or have been for the last 8 years.
I saw your interview with the people who booked the music into House of Booze.
Yes.
That was a great
fun.
One. That was fun. It was great. I need a t-shirt from House of Booze.
Yeah, that was my breakout South Wenatchee House of Booze story.
That was your Now, did you go down to cover that story much like a reporter would? You talk to the individuals, you try to capture their energy and what they're trying to do?
I think so. Having lived for most of my life with a professional journalist, I don't call myself a journalist. But yeah, I interview, I check my facts, I try to be careful, and I have fun with my writing. Which
now, for writers that don't know Ride on the River, let's help them get acquainted with you and some of the services that you offer that could, in the very least, encourage someone to keep writing.
Well, we've got a few things coming up. Should we get specific about this very busy month coming up?
I approve of being specific.
Well, okay. Well, first, I should say for people who aren't familiar with us, for about 12 years, we had a big conference every spring where we had lots of selection of different classes to take, and we've kind of streamlined that and pared it down and made it a little more targeted. So this is our third workshop weekend of 2018 coming up on October 20th. And it's kind of culminative in the sense that the other two workshops were about nonfiction writing and fiction writing. And this one is called Reaching Readers. And it's a full day, meaning two long workshops, 3-hour workshops, at Wenatchee Valley College, which has been our wonderful host venue for years. And that's, if you go to our website, you'll find lots more information on that. But this is two really, they were past presenters, they're very popular and very, very good, earnest writers and writing coaches.
And also a professional opinion and help with a literary agent who will be there, and also a writing coach.
Yes, yes. They'll do critiques and they're doing the workshops. So we've got a very full day for writers. And reaching readers is what this day is all about.
In fact, that's what it's all about for a lot of writers, because the publishing business has changed so much in the last 10 years that actually getting to an audience can be very difficult.
Yes.
Lorna, did you have something you wanted
just
to say?
Yeah, just the publication. I know Lorna has gave a very nice workshop a few weeks ago about just kind of, I know you didn't have time to get too far under the surface, but you gave us lots of options for publishing. Can you talk about that a bit?
Yeah, lots of avenues these days to publish. My particular workshop that I gave to Ride on the River members a few weeks ago talked about if you want to submit essays, poems, short stories, kind of the short form to literary magazines, kind of where do you start? And there are all sorts of tools out there to help you with that. So that's what I talked about. This workshop that is coming up is going to talk even more about that. Susan mentioned, we're also going to have an agent, and her, Rachel, is going to talk more about, her thing is called From Slush to Shelf. So how do you get picked out of the slush pile when you submit something?
You don't.
And, how do you increase your chances anyway of doing that? And then, how does that become an actual book, and how do you work with editors, and how does that whole process happen?
I'm curious that there even is a publishing industry, because if you send a finished novel that you've written to a publishing house, it will not be read. It will not even be cursory. Slush pile is generous. It just goes into the garbage. They don't read it. If you send it to an agent, the agent won't read it.
You don't know.
The chances are that it seems like the industry is erected with a huge wall like the one in Game of Thrones. They keep the writer away from the publishing world. Is it that draconian?
I don't think so.
I think that's a myth substantiated by stories from people who didn't get published. And I understand.
And there's a lot of them, I'm sure.
A lot of them, yes. But you need to know that those publishing houses are alive and well and seeking the best writers.
What about self-publishing? Do you recommend it?
It is what's happening now.
Yeah, it's a very individual thing. Self-publishing is kind of a totally different animal than traditional publishing. And some people have been very successful at it, but you kind of have to have a certain skill set or be willing to learn it to be able to self-publish successfully.
You have to be a marketer as much as a writer.
Exactly, yeah.
I think you also have to be very computer savvy and willing to put in hours that go beyond just completing your book.
Your submissions have to be sophisticated
and look just right. And savvy and spot on.
Yeah,
you bet.
You're doing everything yourself, mm-hmm. or paying somebody to do it.
Let's talk about the October 20th workshop and then the one for October 27th so we can remind people what's coming up.
Well, that's kind of a fun thing. That this is the third year that we've partnered with Sun Mountain Lodge in Winthrop, which if you've been up there, well, if you've been to the Metau, you know how beautiful it is in the fall. Sun Mountain Lodge sits on top of Patterson Mountain and looks over, oh, most of the north of the valley. And they like us. They like right on the river because every year on a Saturday night, we bring about 30 or 40 people. Most of whom are familiar with Sun Mountain, but some new people, and a lot of locals from the Metau Valley, Twisp and Winthrop, of course, a very artful area in its own, and they sign up to read on our, what is essentially, well, we turn it into 5 minutes of fame.
5 minutes of fame is good.
5 minutes of fame.
We give them an extra. 10 minutes can be a bit too cold.
Eyes glaze over at 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But this is an open mic, and it was meant originally to bring some Wenatchee writers up to the Metau who might not have been there and let the Metau writers come up. If they want to drive the road and just go back home again, that's fine. But Sun Mountain offers half-price rooms for us, which I think is very
cool. Lauren was telling me that the limit is 4 minutes.
It's five.
We make it five when we travel out of town.
Well, you know what it's like to have a writer who walks up very calmly and says, these are the first 10 chapters of my book.
Oh,
begins to read them.
I'll tell you, we're kinder to poets because they have fewer words to work with.
There you go.
And then when they're wrapping up to their last three lines, we genuinely don't put the hook out and pull them off the stage.
Standing ovation.
You're right. The second chapter gets a little long.
Well, I want to reach out to the writers that are listening right now who have listened to everything we said, and instead of saying, I want to write to writeontheriver.org, they just go, nah, because that's a writer's way. Always go back to what you know, whether it was working for you or not. So I'm asking the writers right now to try something new, get to know somebody who's maybe a better writer than you are, who can teach you some tricks that you haven't thought of, who can figure out what's wrong with that chapter. And what's wrong with your first chapter? That's the one everyone wants to read, isn't it?
Yes.
But in many books, the first chapter is not the best chapter. Does it have to be?
In the modern world? Since your first reader is probably an editor or an agent, I would say it should probably be pretty good, that first chapter.
It'd be really good.
We actually have an event at some of our gatherings called a first page party where we get good writers to critique first pages that are handed in. Like, does this first page grab me and tell me where you're going?
The real first page of a book.
A real first page, yes.
Where it's going, we don't know. Fine. But here's how it starts, and it better be hot.
Yep.
Now, is that a demand that writers didn't have to suffer with in the past? They could have maybe two set-up chapters before they really get into the mess of it, and that those days are gone, the style has changed?
I don't know. I'll look back at Hemingway opening lines, and you think he's probably playing to a real reader that wants to be there right at the beginning.
And Hemingway had a lot of experience in journalism, so he knew to get to the who, what, where, when, and how pretty quickly.
He did.
Right on the River is a great organization. Susan Laxton and Lorna Rose Hahn will be there to help you with your career and your style and the efforts that you make when you join Right on the River or come by and take part in their events. October 20th is the Autumn Workshop. That's going to be, where is it? At the college?
Oh, it's at the college.
Wenatchee Hall.
And that's the one I like because Rachel Lutofsky, literary agent, will be there, and she's a writing coach, too. So someone who says, get up, work out, suit up, show up, keep writing.
Yep.
And my adage that I used with Lorna earlier today was, you can call yourself a writer, but if you haven't written today, you're not. That's your job for the rest of the day. Ladies, good luck. How can we, before we leave, October 20th, the Autumn Workshop, how do they get involved? How do they get a hold of you?
Well, website, Right on the River, all one word, rightontheriver.org, will give you a place to read about the workshop and also very easy registration process online.
Of course, we're saying Right on the River like it was meant, but it's spelled with a W. You can figure that one out if you're a writer. And if you're not a writer, then work on it for the rest of the day and get back to me.
Yes. We have two other...
Tell me quickly, please.
Two other events Lorna...
Our writing retreat is November 9th up in Manson. We are renting a beautiful facility. You can overlook Lake Chelan. There's one spot left for that writing retreat.
Whoa.
One spot. Yes. Lucky number 7. So there are going to be 7. There are 7 spots total. 6 of them are taken. So you could get the last spot.
Susan Lagston and Lorna Rose Hahn from Right on the River, WOTR.org. Thanks, ladies. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
The latest election news and interviews are on News Radio 560 KPQ.
And in the hole.
The Agenda with Michael Knight on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
It's 12:35. The day turned out to be kind of sunny after all, didn't it? I had my doubts this morning. My very special guest from Lighthouse Ministries is the founder and the major domo, Sean Arrington, who comes by periodically. And he's here today. Hey, Sean, how are you?
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. I've already started thinking about Night in the Box. I don't think I can do it, but I think Kevin Rounce wants to.
Yeah. I'm ready to have him sleep in a box, and you know, he can catalog it on the air and tell us
hour by hour.
Yeah. Checking in, it's pretty cold out here.
It's not funny, but it's worth mentioning that every year that they have Night in the Box, it turns out to be a rather cold night, not just chilly, but like record-breaking cold.
Yeah, we scooted it forward about a month a few years back so that it can be more doable for more people.
For someone who has no idea what I mean when I say Night in the Box, what does it mean?
Well, it's pretty much literally that. It's in November, and people in the community come and sleep in a box overnight, or at least lay in a box overnight.
Stand there and look at the box.
That's right. Whatever it takes. So a lot of people kind of cheat and just kind of hang around the fires all night long and decide not to go into the box. But it's a fundraiser to raise awareness for the homeless community and to make sure that we are actively doing something about the issue.
You may think there isn't an issue, but I walk to work here in the early morning hours. Someone started sleeping in the bus stop right here in front of the Coast Hotel every night in their sleeping bag.
Yeah, I saw him there this morning.
Actually, I was surprised that it was a woman. I saw her purse and her apple, which I assumed was her only belonging in the world, plus her breakfast. And I thought, jeez.
Wow, it must have changed by this morning, because by mid-morning it was a gentleman.
Well, I guess that's a popular spot, although I cannot begin to tell you why. I mean, it's just the cement and the bus cover. I mean, it's not really shelter.
Well, it's a roof, and it's somewhat walls, so it feels better.
Now, someone listening to us would go, well, that can't be happening all around our town, can it?
Well,
yes, it does.
Yeah, it happens a lot more than we know. You know, any town with a river is going to have a lot of a homeless community more gathered down by the river. There's access to water and shelter, and I've seen it up and down the Columbia in all different towns. It's not just a Wenatchee issue.
Oh, no.
Although I would say that Wenatchee's doing something about it in a bigger and grander way than the larger cities.
Well, the larger cities don't even know what the first step should be in many cases.
Yeah, it's interesting. I just was over in Seattle area this last week, and the people that I saw and the gatherings of people there and the issues that it brings when it's not dealt with the correct way made me really grateful to be in Wenatchee, where it's being dealt with in a kind and loving manner.
And there's really no other way to do it. You can try strong arm tactics. You can try running them out of town on a rail. You can try all the solutions that you think are going to work, but those don't work. In fact, they sometimes make the problem worse.
That's right. And it's misconceived that the majority of the homeless people in Wenatchee are not from Wenatchee, but I myself, knowing the homeless people in Wenatchee, I am very confident in saying that at least 90% of them have mothers and fathers and grandparents and have been raised actually in this valley. When they're down at the soup kitchen and they're eating, the same people that are serving them meals are saying, I went to school with that person when they were younger.
Wow. So Night in the Box helps us in awareness, and what else does it help?
It helps to raise funds. This year also, it's really amazing because we have a whole bunch of groups of youth already stepping up, different schools, different youth groups, different organizations, and these kids have already made a commitment. So they're gathering sleeping bags. There was, I believe, 261 sleeping bags committed to be gathered by these youth, and pounds of food and toiletry packs and blankets, as well as service hours in this community and also funds.
And they've already made their promise, and now they have to come through with their guesstimate on what they can provide.
That's right. I'm pretty sure that these kids are going to overdo what they committed to. I know a lot of the leaders. I know a lot of the youth, and they are not a sit-down type of people.
You're a pretty bubbly, energetic guy, but how do you do this year after year without losing your faith that you won't have to keep doing it.
Well, I hope that the day comes.
Oh, I hope things too.
That's the whole point, is I hope the day comes where no one has to do this. But until that time comes, people need loved on. It's easy for me to remember. I was homeless for the majority of 16 years of my life, and until somebody here in Wenatchee loved on me in the way that gave me value and purpose, I was going to stay that way.
You weren't going to change.
I didn't think that that was a possibility. I didn't think there was help or support or actually love out there for the type of person that I was.
So it wasn't that you didn't have a job. It wasn't that you didn't have a family. You just didn't have a direction and you needed one.
That's right. Yeah. Eventually the lack of direction led to a lack of job and lack of self-worth. And then eventually, you know, where does that go?
So when you hear people say, well, you know, these homeless folks, I mean, they like it that way. That's where they want to live. You have to correct them?
Well, there are some that want to be homeless, but for the most part, the people that have chose to be homeless and want to live a lifestyle of homelessness are also usually an older category of people that have made it a lifestyle of making sure to not be obvious about it and not be bothered about it. There are a lot of people, though, that are, you know, I am able to stand up for and say, hey, they don't want to be homeless. They don't need to be homeless. And that's where we come in. We get a love on them. The volunteers, the people of this community get to love on them. Give them a hand and give them a relationship that's going to give them a way out.
And it changes their mind after a bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, it changes the mind in the areas of, you know, am I worth something and can I do something? Where would I go? You know, it gives us a possibility. It gives us a future, a hope and a future.
You have a new location for Lighthouse Ministries, yes?
That's right. It's going to be at 410 South Columbia Street. We are getting really close to relocating. The final steps and parts of construction are happening right now. Every day it looks different.
And I know that this has been a big project of yours, but how long has it been coming?
It's been coming for 2 to 3 years. It was a long permitting process. It took a while to get going, to raise the funds for it. Just everything has been taking a little bit longer than we expected, but we are seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, and we are jogging there.
You're almost in a full sprint.
Yeah. Just come on. Hand me the baton. Let's go.
So when you open the new facility, what will it have that you don't have now, or will it just be more and better organization?
There will be some things that we don't have right now. We don't have any offices. We don't have anywhere for council to take place. So you see us down at the coffee shops around town, down at Cafe Mela, and that's because that's where we meet and give counsel as pastors. And the main part of it, though, is just relocating everything that's already happening. We're not really beginning something new as much as we're transplanting what's already out there. I see it as a relocation and strengthening the roots of what's already been formed. So the soup kitchen's going to go in there, the medical clinic, the dental clinic, and all of the food services, the distributions, all the food services and food bank services are all going to be in this one location. It's going to be really nice to be centrally located under one roof.
It's like Lighthouse City is what it amounts to.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be this big house of love and support, and it's going to see a lot of lives changed, but not just, hey, this year. It's going to change lives for decades to come.
And that's the idea, make it permanent change.
Absolutely. We want to see people's lives changed and permanently changed, and then when their lives are changed, they actually participate in seeing lives change.
When you tell them that you were homeless for a period of time and you got out of it and now you're in charge of this Lighthouse Ministries, do they say, yeah, but that could never happen to me? That's not in the cards for me, Sean. That's for you.
Yeah, I haven't really heard that. I'm sure that that's a thought that probably is easy to happen in somebody's mind. I'm seeing a lot more people, though, that are on the streets because the business took a wrong turn or
Bingo.
A job was lost. And, hey, how many of us really have a savings that has acquired us enough of a safety net that's going to get us through, say, 30 days without work? I can't say that next month, if I didn't have a job, that I wouldn't be in the same situation.
Most people would be in terrible straits.
Yeah, it's a serious thing.
Sean Arrington, Lighthouse Ministries. We'll be back to get more details on what's going on at the Lighthouse Ministries right after these words. On News Radio 560, KPQ.
The Agenda with Michael Knight on News Radio 560, KPQ and KPQ.com.
12:47 on a Thursday afternoon. This is The Agenda. I'm Michael Knight. My very special guest is Sean Arrington from Lighthouse Ministries. You had an interesting break-in. Some fool came in and took your cash, but in sort of a unique way. I don't want to mean to make light of this, but I just want people to know that some of your operating funds were absconded with.
Yeah, it was a strange thing. One of our directors went down to participate in some of the construction early in the morning, and when he got down there, he realized that the metal garage door to the new building that's under construction had been driven through or somehow busted down, it would have taken a larger vehicle or something to do what they did to get in.
And they got in.
They did get in, and they went right to where the mailbox was attached to the wall. It's a locked donation box. There's been a little bit of confusion. People wondered why we kept donations on site, but that's what happens when the mailman drops it off, and even though we check the mail often and immediately bring it to the bank, they did get a large amount of mail that had come in recently.
And that left you short to what degree?
We know that we've been able to track that there was about $1,700 in cash to our best guesstimate as far as speaking to people and checking rents that had been turned in that way. We have also known that there's been, I think, $2,000 to $3,000 worth of checks that were in there. People were able to cancel their checks. No damage done. We're really thankful for that.
So human nature rears its ugly head once again.
Yeah, it does. It kind of happens from time to time. We're really grateful for the community and their desire to step up and help us. You know, our goal is to be open by Thanksgiving or right around that time. That is something that funds are needed for to make happen, and people have been stepping up and coming alongside and helping to donate.
Let's get back to Night in the Box. How did that start? Was that something that was being tried other places that you heard about?
Well, when I was in youth group, when I was a kid, there was a 40-hour famine. It's a thing that the church was doing, and the youth pastor took all of us kids and said, hey, we're going to sleep in boxes in the parking lot and experience what it's like to not have a home.
Or a meal.
Or a meal, yeah. We'd gone 40 hours, so no home, no meal, and we slept in the parking lot. Actually, my future wife did this with me when we were kids, and she has pictures of it. And so when there came the time and the Gospel House family shelter was ready to open, but we did not have bunk beds, then the idea came from somewhere to sleep in a box on the street until this valley does what they do so well, which is help to see those bunk beds get put in place by donations.
If you yourself have slept on the street and whatever reason caused you to have to do that, you know that sooner or later you will run afoul of the peace officers that come through our city from time to time. But that's just the opposite of what you have happened, Sean. You get their support when you do Night in the Box.
Yeah, absolutely. It was pretty amazing. Chief Robbins, who was the chief at the time here in Wenatchee, he was the one who asked me, or one of the officers, to remove myself from the sidewalk that year. But they were so amazing in that they stepped up the next year when we had an official place in a location on private property to do it, that they came and they slept in boxes. We actually had the police chief here in Wenatchee and the East Wenatchee police chief, the sheriff from Chelan and the sheriff from Douglas, all came together and slept in boxes multiple years in a row. Sheriff Burnett's doing it this year also, I believe, and it's just really amazing to see law officials take their private time and commit themselves to a night in the cold, because they are the ones that are dealing with seeing people out in the cold, and they have a heart to help.
And you get up the next day after sleeping in a box, you're stiff, you're cold, nothing works, you just go, God, that was awful, what a nightmare.
Yeah, that's right. It's really nice on Saturday to say, man, I get to go home, I'm going to be warm, but not all the people get to say that.
That's the thing that you become impressed for no other reason that the human spirit survives these situations that we get ourselves into and somehow not thrive, but survive that life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's a thing. You go through what you have to go through, but as humans, hey, what are we called to do? We're called to help each other, not have to go through things alone.
We need not fully experience what it's like to walk in someone else's shoes, but this is a chance to sleep in someone else's box, which is probably something you haven't given a lot of thought to. Stay up all night and then sleep in the box besides on a cold night? No, that's not for me. Well, of course, it's not for anybody when you think about it. It's an example of what we do when we have to.
Yeah, absolutely. We don't want anybody to be ever left out in the cold, and we're not trying to make some homeless experience for somebody, but in that moment where you're out in the cold, and hey, the thing is the people that are homeless that are helping to support this event are there that night also, and you can't tell who's the mayor, who's homeless, who's a businessman, who's a father, who's alone. And so that night we're all on equal ground. We're all there dealing with the same issue. We're dealing with it together. And it does open your eyes, that just little bit of experience that, hey, this is something that nobody should have to go through if they don't want to.
You and your organization do so much work. How can people listening now support you?
Oh, well, we're really grateful for all the help of people that have been donating to the ministry project. Lighthouse Christian Ministries needs funds still, obviously, to continue to operate, to continue to make sure this construction project finishes strong. WenatcheeLighthouse.org is the best place where people can donate. They can also get signed up to be a part of a volunteer service.
And they can help you with all your efforts, including the soup kitchen, which is not, which is serves so many people. How many people are you serving a week?
I don't know how many people. We don't count the people, but we do count the servings. And in 1 month, we're going through over 14,000 average servings through the soup kitchen and food services.
Amazing. Thanks, Sean.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Wenatchee, for being a part of it.
Sean Arrington with Lighthouse Ministries.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
When Dr. William Gotthold retired after 33 years as an emergency physician in North Central